All right, so we're back for what will be the final live segment. It's been wonderful being with you guys for 4 days. So we're going to end it in style. We have the great Herb Sutter here for us. Thanks for coming and joining us today.
No problem.
Now, thanks, you Charles. Made some really big announcements for us, mm-hmm. meaning Microsoft,
yeah,
and also for the industry at large today. Why don't you give us a little recap of what went down?
There's so many exciting things happening in the industry right now, and C++ is a part of so many of them because the world is built on C++, so is Microsoft.
Sure.
So we announced the CTP of our new Visual C++ compiler. I mean, we just shipped less than 2 months ago,
yeah.
And now we promised that we would have CTPs and more regular progress showing for conformance. Mm-hmm. It's not just 2 more years till the next product. It's regularly showing improvement, and
excellent.
So we announced 6 new C++ 11 features in that CTP, and it's available today.
Great.
Yes.
And on Channel 9, we have the great Stefan. Let's call him STL.
Yeah.
That's what we call him.
Mm-hmm.
STL is doing a walkthrough of all those features in his
yes.
typical style. That's on the homepage of Channel 9. You can get there by clicking on the Return to Homepage link. You don't want to do that right now because we're with Herb. You want to ask questions.
It'll still be there.
And here's the first one.
Uh-huh.
This is from Casper Von B. Herb, you mentioned the idea of a portable core library or a portable C++ library. Is this an ongoing effort or just a pipe dream?
It is an ongoing effort. It sounds like a pipe dream, but we want to make that dream reality. So today we also announced the creation of the isoCPP.org site, which is behind us here. I
yep.
noticed you got pulled it up on the big screen.
Mm-hmm.
I want one of these, by the way. It's
They're
just
nice.
So fun to touch. It's so easy to use.
Absolutely.
That's not a product commercial. I just love it as a consumer. But
I think
they're a little pricey now. We got to get that down.
We'll get it down.
But what it does is it makes transparent the standardization work. It encourages the people to contribute. So as you talk about greater portable C++ libraries, there's two parts of that. The first is more standard libraries. Just come in the box as part of the standard with every conforming implementation. So we're addressing that by really doing more releases sooner. So I announced that in the next 24 months, we are going to have a new standard and 3 technical specifications for file system, for networking, as we continue to build out and deliver standard C++ libraries.
Hmm.
And we want to lower barriers to participation through sites like this to let people see what we're doing and participate. That is already accelerating the growth of the standard C++ libraries. That's one part. The second part is community libraries. So I did not announce anything about that today. What I did announce, besides the standardization is going faster, and by the way, there's a website and a new foundation with major support and
awesome.
Investment throughout the industry, and we can talk about that also.
We should.
The first step is to make the standards process transparent, accelerated, and participatable. There will be more announcements. This is the beginning. It is not the end.
Great.
And so as we continue to build that out, one of the things you will see over the coming few months,
mm-hmm.
few quarters, is specifically things about modern C++ libraries. I think you will like what you see. We'll have more to say in the coming months. But I think it's critically important, like I said, it going native 9 months ago, tomorrow I think it is, that we fill that gap where there's a void of portable C++ libraries that anybody writing C++ or writing a C++ book or article can just assume are available to the person.
Yes.
So we are going to address that. This is a lot of laying the groundwork for that, because to get there, you have to backfill a lot of what's been missing that other communities have had, and we're now starting to build out.
Awesome. Great question. So DeadMG asks, with the C++ committee, you being the chairman, so
mm-hmm.
we're now talking to the chairman of the board, in a sense, would the C++ committee consider accepting a replacement I.O. library if a high-quality proposal were made?
Yes.
Okay.
I think the committee would consider it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you said if a high quality proposal is made.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, nothing happens in standardization unless somebody volunteers to do the work, specifically to write a detailed proposal,
okay.
to be able to create a proof of concept implementation. Can I go over here?
Of course
you can.
Can
I walk around?
Please
so,
do.
I get lots of questions about how do I participate? Would the C++ committee do it? You know what? One of the things I love so much about this site is mm-hmm. finally we have a place to ask and answer those questions.
All right.
So if you want to go over to forums, one of the places where you can actually ask this kind of question yourself is to go to ISO C++ Standard Discussion, Future Proposals, and we're already making some of our subgroup mailing lists publicly accessible. This is the first. There will be more.
Wow.
And so ask about a future proposal. And if you want to know how to work on this kind of thing, then also look at the site on standardization. And as you go to standardization, what you'll see here is, notice you've got submit a proposal as one of the things that you can do, find out more about the committee current status. So let's click on submit a proposal. And here is exactly what the Standards Committee Library Working Group is looking for.
Awesome.
And here is how you actually find out. So float the idea. This is where to ask. Use the proposal skeleton. Ask on the forum that we just created and announced and we encourage people to use. See, people have been asking this for a long time.
Yes.
This is why we have the site.
Awesome.
To be able to connect with the community, to have a center of gravity for C++, which is about the whole community,
mm-hmm.
but it's centered on standardization because that is the core of standard C++,
yes,
the standard C++ community. But it's about much more than that.
Great.
And so we hope that you'll find that very useful.
Great. Great question. Thanks for showing us.
You know, it is just so great for the first time to be able to take that question and not just answer it in words, but say, look, here's the answer. You
exactly.
can do it yourself. That is so valuable.
Now, let's talk about that for real briefly, because in some sense, when we started talking about the C++ Renaissance,
mm-hmm.
it sounds great, and it was true. I mean, we did Going Native. There was a lot of momentum. If you look at this event and even Build 2011, the C++ talks have been very full with lots of young faces.
Yes.
Now, what I wanted to ask was, first, I'm going to go back and ask a question, because I sort of forgot what I was going to ask. I've been doing
this all day. You were going to ask about the Renaissance.
I was going to ask about the Renaissance. Thank you. So. This clearly shows, talk to me a little bit about the realization of the Renaissance.
So the idea of a C++ Renaissance, it's not instead of other languages, it's in addition to.
Mm-hmm.
I know that Mohsen and Craig, when they did their Channel 9 video, is it about a year and a half or more now
yes.
ago, they talked about the dark matter, because C++ has always been there, it's been part of the gravity of what holds our civilization, our software together.
Absolutely.
Because the world runs on C++. Microsoft runs on C++. And we love C# and .NET languages. We love JavaScript and TypeScript and HTML5. I thought that would be a great band name, HTML5 and the scripts, right?
There you go.
Maybe I should stick to software. One of the cool things about it, though, is that already at that time, the reason we started talking about it is because we saw throughout the industry that there were increasing levels of investment in C++, even during the recession, that we hadn't seen for a decade. Apple and Google were making a new Clang compiler. When's the last time you heard about a major new compiler that was being promoted and produced by industry powerhouses? We could see it internally at Microsoft. Now, we could talk about the Renaissance. We just pointed outside, hey, have you noticed the resurgence of interest in C++? What we knew but couldn't talk about at the time, we knew that Windows was already adopting more C++ for the core OS.
Absolutely.
We knew that WinRT was being built for tablet and new style applications, modern apps, that was all built on C++ technology, usable from every language. C Sharp is great for writing those tablet and modern applications. HTML5 JavaScript is great for it. C++ is great for it and used to build much of the infrastructure. So use the right tool for the job.
Mm-hmm.
But we could already see that investment. Windows Phone, for example, now supports C++.
Absolutely.
Which means C++ is supported on every major mobile operating system, every major desktop operating system, every major server operating system. It is the portable language, always has been, along with C. But it gives you the abstraction and still the efficiency, which is its big differentiator from C. So today we announced the foundation.
Yes.
So on the about page, as to who runs this site, this is an example of where you're continuing to see massive investment throughout the industry in C++. Microsoft, Google, Intel, ARM, IBM, HP, Bloomberg, OpenMP, all of these people, like Pearson's a book publisher. Addison Wesley has long been the creator of the best C++ technical books and other technical books. They're helping to fund this effort because it benefits them. None of these guys get a vote in the foundation. The directors run the foundation, which is a few of us, including Bjarne Strustrup and other longtime committee members. You can find out about it here.
Mm-hmm.
But in particular, Intel and ARM, hardware manufacturers, chip vendors, doing an investment in standard C++ and promoting standard C++ is good business for them. They benefit from it. Microsoft and Google, same thing. We all run on C++. OpenMP and the HSA Foundation are interesting because those aren't companies. Those are other industry consortiums.
Sure.
And these consortia are also investing in another consortium, this trade association, the Standard C++ Foundation, including even small individual shops and including financial companies like DRW Trading, Bloomberg, C++ Library, and test suite vendors like Dinkumware and Plum Hall. And we thank them all. Thank you very much for these and more coming still, who are investing in C++. This is just another example of the renewed investment in C++ throughout the industry.
Mm.
And again, it's not there is no one-size-fits-all language. Like, please do not make that mistake. Zealots on every side always make that mistake, and it's just a stupid thing to do, because one size doesn't fit all. If you have your toolbox, you ask the question, well, why do you have a screwdriver and a saw and not just a hammer? You should just have hammers. Mm-hmm. Well, that would be silly.
Sure.
The same thing is true of programming languages. They're each designed for specific kinds of uses. Use the right tool for the right part of your job. Very often, that's C++.
Now, what I would say to that, dear Herb, is that we're
I know something's coming.
We're now in the sort of the, you know, the we're down here on the Renaissance in the sense that on the effects. So here's let me try to step back and explain what I'm saying. For 10 years, C++ programmers and C++ from Microsoft's angle, or our light that we shone on them, were very hungry in dark corners.
Mm-hmm.
Malnourished and underfed.
Sounds like a zombie film.
Yes, it is sort of a Halloween.
I never watched
what
those.
What we did
but
was shine much more spotlight on them. So a lot of people out there get upset, and particularly, you know, if you look on Twitter, sometimes they accuse me of being the zealot that you're on that side. But I guess we pushed a little bit because we wanted to put us up with everything else that Microsoft has been supporting so hard.
Well, there's
and
two
so
parts
now
of
now we're
it.
All on the same playing field.
There's two parts of it. One is the Renaissance to get back to parity. Because, for instance, at Microsoft, the investment was in managed languages for a decade.
Mm-hmm.
And in the industry, in Java, the investment was in managed languages for a decade. I have a nice talk on why C++. It's also on Channel 9.
It's a great
talk. Take a look at it where I lay that out in a bit more detail. Mm-hmm. And it was exactly the right thing to invest in.
Mm-hmm.
And that continues to be the right tool for many jobs. There's no room for zealotry.
Mm-hmm.
What's being pointed out is that the pendulum swung too far. We're now getting more balanced. We don't want to get unbalanced the other way and now say, oh, you don't really need all that managed stuff. Of course you do. There's great benefits to that. You should use that tool.
Mm-hmm.
But the balance is to, especially in where you care about power efficiency, getting the most performance per watt, getting the most performance per transistor in a mobile device,
mm-hmm.
in having a twice as efficient app run twice as long on a battery. Have a data center where a twice as efficient app runs with half the server cost of your data center. And remember, the server cost and power is 88% of the cost of running a data center.
Hmm.
You run an app that's twice as efficient, it is almost directly twice as cost effective, costs half as much. That is really important. And of course, you know what a pincer movement looks like.
Hmm.
As soon as you've got data center and mobile, these things are all blowing back into the mainstream. And there is still a place where you want to optimize for programmer productivity.
Yes.
Programmer time is your biggest cost, like you're developing an internal IT application or for some other reason, programmer time is your big cost.
Mm-hmm.
You should optimize for that. That's
Absolutely.
What many languages are good for. If reach is your biggest thing, that's where a web-based solution is going to play well. If you want local apps as the preferred solution with web as the reach backup,
mm-hmm.
and you want efficiency, then consider an efficient language.
Yes.
Because C++ has always been about efficient abstraction. To get classes and templates, generics, all that kind of stuff, lambdas, but have it compile away to almost nothing.
Great.
And not pay for what you don't use.
Totally.
So it's one of your tools.
It's one of your tools, and it makes wonderful sense on ARM devices, but let's move on.
You have questions, by the way.
We have lots of questions, so
yes.
I want to get to Fernando. Fernando wants to know about any news with .then and std future.
Yes. So .then is being proposed. Actually, Microsoft is proposing that because
okay.
we have in Visual C++ 2012, we have .then on tasks.
Mm-hmm.
But so it's not on the standard future because we didn't want to mess with the implementation of the standard version. So we have it on task of T in the concurrency namespace. That is being proposed. It is going well. And we are converging with especially Google and Intel, who have similar work. And in particular, Intel already ships the PPL, just like we do. So you can get PPL already for Linux and other systems. It's not just Windows. You can get that from Intel. Google has a great executor, I don't know how they pronounce it, policy, which can control where things get run, which applies to where continuations, .then continuations get run.
Mm.
So we're working together. And with others, but those are the main three companies working on the .then proposal for futures. As soon as you have .then, there's two levels. There's the pure library level, future.then, and the when, any, when, all that go along with it. The next one is to build language support on it optionally, which is also being proposed separately, and we're working on a prototype work to test it out
mm-hmm.
internally at Microsoft, but is being proposed for standardization by us, is the await feature, which has worked really well in C#, yes, and in other languages before it, for that matter.
Yep.
And the same thing can be done in C++. So we're actively proposing that for standardization. And the standards committee can take either or. Take the pure library future.then and say, yeah, but now we can see the delta that the language version gives you. Yeah, we don't feel like paying a keyword for that, so maybe we'll say no to that. That's mm-hmm. fine. Mm-hmm. And we can still provide that as an extension if we think it's important. But I think it's very likely that once you see the difference, here's how far you get with a library, and you need this library anyway for interoperability,
sure,
and for non-blocking, now here's what you get with await. Mm. And it's only natural, because mm-hmm. future is a future result, a future value. And there are exactly two ways that you can use it. You can either wait for it, the blocking style, which is the style already in the standard, .get, okay, .wait, or you can tack on a continuation and not block for it, the blocking and the non-blocking. So the standard already has half of it. Mm-hmm. We're just proposing adding the other half. And it turns out there's some really nice and lightweight and sweet syntactic sugar where the compiler can generate state machines for you that you shouldn't be having to write by hand.
Absolutely.
That can make it even sweeter.
So listen, your poor compiler guys, they do so, so much work. Mm-hmm. Big kudos to the C++
yes.
compiler team for today's work.
Yes,
we're
thank
looking
you,
at you, Jonathan.
Thank you, John Caves and Mark Hall, Jim Springfield, Dion Brewis. Thank you, all of those people, Tanvir Ghani and many more. I can't name them all.
Rock and roll.
And on the library side, we have Pat, Stefan, STL and many others doing great work. Yeah. We really appreciate it. It's great to be on a big team investing in C++.
Totally. Now, people thought, I just got in my ear, they thought I was winding down. There's no way I'm winding down. We're still winding up.
Well, next question.
So let's
then.
Go.
Let's take
Nishant
a few quickly.
Wants to know, so here's what we're going to do. Let's do, play a little game, Herb. Let's try 30-second Herb answers.
Okay, I'll try it.
It could be hard, but that's today's game.
All right.
Ready? Here we go. Nishant, what are your thoughts on a study group for GPU for general compute? How is this interest in such a group?
So the concurrency group talked about that in May at our meeting that we had here in Bellevue. And there are three major levels of parallelism in hardware: multi-core, vector lanes, and GPU. We explicitly decided we're interested in standardizing only the first two in this round. Mm. But as part of doing the vector standardization work, much of it will also apply to GPUs. But the reason it's not time to standardize GPUs specifically is because the hardware is still in motion.
Great.
But multi-core and vector, those are grist for standardization, and we're working on it.
Awesome. David wants to know, is Microsoft aiming for 100% C++ conformance? What's the time frame?
Yes, and as soon as we can. So we showed you six new features today.
Mm-hmm.
We announced publicly on camera, on demand, that we will give you further updates and wait to hear from us in first half of 13. We'll have more to say then.
Rock and roll.
But this is just the beginning. The standard is the standard. We have to conform to what's there. We and other companies are also driving it even further. Mm-hmm. Why on earth would you do that if you're not going to catch up with what's already there?
Absolutely.
Standard C++ is good for everybody. Today, there is not a conforming C++ implementation on the planet. Many are close, but there is not a conforming C++ implementation. Edison Design Group has long been at the forefront. I think they're just in the process of putting in rostering literals, for example, which was one of the features we just added that mm-hmm. we announced today. Mm-hmm. Everybody's working on it. In the first standard, it took about 3 years for there to be a conforming implementation after the standard shipped. This time, I think that if we get together this time next year, I'm pretty positive that there will be at least two, I would guess. I don't know exactly which ones they'll be, but at least two major C++ implementations that are substantially conforming, modulo bugs and maybe one or two low priority features that they haven't quite got to finish it out. So the whole industry is implementing this, and we want to be right there.
Cool. All right. So Clemens Baum asks, are there any plans to extend constexpr to remove the arbitrary restrictions to single statement functions?
Yes, there are. There was discussion 2 weeks ago at a Portland meeting to extend constexpr. It scares and frightens some people, and it delights others. So there's a consistency argument to be able to do more at compile time. And then there's the, how much do we really want to force the compiler to do at compile time? But hey, this is C++. Give the programmer the tool, and he can choose whether the trade-off compile time versus that kind of computation.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that may well go somewhere. It's being actively discussed.
Excellent. Robert Ramey, C++ is forever more elaborate, but there has never been any compiler which is totally bug-free and totally conforming. All the compilers omit some different set of features. So it's very problematic to write portable code. Now to the question. What is being done to address this list of issues that you just outlaid?
So first of all, I think that that was true around 2000.
Mm.
It is much less true today. Yes, there are some details where compilers may differ very slightly, But in general, we can do a pretty good job of writing conforming portable code. Now, with the additional C++ 11 extensions, we're going to catch up to where we were a couple of years ago in portable conformance more quickly than the last time, because the standard is not as far out in advance of implementation practice. Mm. A lot of us have already been implementing move semantics and lambdas before the standard was done. We shipped it before the standard was done, which means we had to then catch up with the final tweaks in the standard and migrate our customers. But I think that we're going to see that substantial portable conformance. Now, having said that, bugs, if you can ship a piece of software without a bug, I would love to hire you. So please submit a job application.
Right on. All right, so Jens Weller wants to know, will Boost be integrated in the C++ Foundation?
Will Boost be integrated in C++ Foundation? C++ Foundation is a trade organization. It is not the standards committee. But if you take a look, for instance, on the main page, you'll see announcements about Boost. By the way, the next release is expected on Monday. They haven't announced it yet, but a little birdie told me, and so I blogged about it. And you can find out all sorts of things about Boost here. But integrated into the foundation is an industry consortium to promote C++, to provide a level of indirection and aggregation, and to host some new content and articles, but mostly to aggregate and point to what's already there. C++ has a vibrant community. It doesn't have an index. We want to provide an index into it, not to replace it or compete or change what's there. Mm-hmm. Having said that, I think that over the coming months, not just Boost, but other community libraries, as you talk about modern C++ libraries, portable C++ libraries, put me on the carpet 6 months from now, okay. 8 months from now, because I owe you more information about that. There will be more news coming soon.
Great. So you heard that right here, live on Channel 9,
yes.
Brought to you by Water. All right. So Carl Hines wants
Water
to know.
Water TM?
Water, yeah, man. So do you C++ AMP, one of your favorite topics of late, is new and nice feature. Why haven't you used OpenCL? A lot of new PCs, notebooks now often have the Intel OpenCL driver installed.
OpenCL is fine. We want a C++ solution.
Okay. So, and that's been said kind of over and over again, it's a C++ solution to the problem.
Yeah.
All right, so Carl Hines Rang, welcome back. Do you plan to support MPI in Visual C++ for parallel programming?
I know of no specific plans. We have a great agents library.
We do. Mm-hmm. We absolutely do.
It's not quite the same thing, but
it's not
what I would like to see is even more support for message passing in the standard. And that is being actively worked on. And then you can ask that question and get an answer on every implementation, not just ours.
Excellent.
So we're working on that.
Perfect. This is about Casablanca. Oh, my goodness. What is the future of MFC? It has fallen behind, and it's not in modern C++ style. Wait, what year is it, man? So that's a fair question.
MFC continues to be popular. We have continued to do some updates to it, including that you can use MFC and a XAML or DirectX control and put them together, child windows, one inside the other, and those things work. So we've done some investments there. Mm-hmm. But it is true that is the current major framework. There's no real replacement for MFC from Microsoft for writing that kind of MVC-style application. So MFC continues to be it, and we continue to keep it updated. Mm-hmm. There hasn't been super major investment in new MFC-specific features, but it's worked well. We've done at least some work to make it work well with other technologies that we're building out.
Excellent. Fernando wants to know, Casablanca will not using all C++ 11 potential because MS wants to keep compatible with VS 2010. Why?
Well, first of all, Casablanca, we're making that open source available. So if you don't like it, if you don't like that part, go ahead and fork it. That's what GitHub is for. I don't think it's on GitHub yet, but that's where most Azure things are. So I'm expecting that it will go there. This is not an announcement. I don't speak for them. But
no, Nicholas announced it a couple days ago.
Oh, perfect. Well, and then GitHub is a great place where if just go ahead and do that if you like. Mm. Having said that, we really want to drive people to use modern C++. That includes in demonstrating its use in our own libraries. Now, we want people who are using our current shipping compiler to be able to use Casablanca. Remember, Casablanca was out before Visual Studio 2012. Mm-hmm. We want people to have our current in-the-field product to be able to use it. So naturally, I could see where Nicholas would want to make sure it worked with VS 2010. But we want people to adopt C++ 11. Mm-hmm. We've got more of that, range 4 and other features, override final, in VS 2012. 2 months after that was announced, after that was available, we just announced a bunch of new features. That's where we want people to go. Mm-hmm. We also want to help them migrate to get there. By the way, that's one of the reasons it was so important for us to make sure that we support XP targeting, that we support Desktop Express, the free desktop compiler, because those were roadblocks to adopting the new compiler so people could use more of C++11, including not just what was in 2012, but the stuff we're in the process of adding really fast.
Okay.
So we want people there, and we'll update Casablanca and other libraries.
Cool. All right. So Karen wants to know, this is a great question, will there be more perf improvements for ARM?
Quite likely. I don't know specific answers to that. Somebody was asking me this offline earlier today, and I said, well, remember, we have a really mature compiler and optimizer. It's been around for a decade or two, I think. I don't think three, but a decade or two. Mm-hmm. Very mature, very powerful, does a great job on x86 mm-hmm. and Itanium and x64 primarily. You have a very mature compiler and toolchain and optimizer and a V1 release of ARM. So it's partly V1 and it's partly very mature. You can expect that to get better.
Great. Great question, Karen. Thanks for asking that. Matus wants to know, it is great to hear that we will have so many TSs in next years. Are you afraid that releasing so many parallel official documents by ISO will create a compiler compatibility mess on the market with each compiler supporting different papers? Any plans to synchronize that stuff?
So, yes, those things will be synchronized, where as we gain experience with the work in a TS, just like with the first library, TR, which would now be called a TS, here's a bunch of library extensions. Vendors, if you're interested in implementing them, go implement it in this way. Then as we gain experience, those were airlifted into the standard with some tweaks based on experience. Mm. We did it with hash-based containers. We did it with smart pointers. We are now doing it with networking, with file system, with concurrency, with thread pools, and many of those things. So they'll all get synced in the standard. Even when we shipped library TR1, though, not every vendor implemented all of it, but many did. They just wanted to implement whatever was there. I assume the same thing is going to be true here. Whatever's in the TS, I assume everyone is going to want to implement all of the TSs, because that's the set of things that the committee has blessed and endorsed. Mm-hmm. We just want to get pieces to you sooner so you don't have to wait for one big gulp every 5 years. Mm. We want to give you pieces sooner. I expect everyone would want to implement all of them.
Excellent. So Brian Jinder wants to know, is there any news on any adoption of C++ AMP as a standard? So do you talk about AMP in the standards committee beyond just what we're doing here at Microsoft?
So, like I mentioned earlier, at our May meeting of SG1 concurrency in Bellevue in May, that was discussed. And we are interested in parallel cores. We are interested in parallel vector units. And as a committee, speaking as a committee, we're not interested at this time in standardizing GPU work. Having said that, AMP has a lot of things that aren't specific to GPUs. The language features, the restrict and such are, but a lot of it works fine with just vectorization. And because we're interested in vectorization, part of the proposals coming into the Portland meeting 2 weeks ago were based on C++ AMP as well as Microsoft PPL that we're contributing if the committee would like to adopt it or some variation of it. And the same thing Intel and Google and others are doing too.
So just for a little, I want to do a little ride tandem with random real quick. Mm-hmm. If I may, while we're on vectorization, because your esteemed colleague Jim Radigan has a fantastic talk he did here on Auto V and Auto P, where you learn. So I want to talk about that briefly. I mean, with vectorizable loops in your code, will get vectorized across the registers on modern hardware. Can we talk about that real briefly?
So the idea of people have always asked, especially since multi-core started, couldn't my compiler just make my single-threaded code parallel for me?
Yes.
Isn't that what compilers do? Well, an optimist might. That's very optimistic. The good news is they can do it sometimes.
Yes.
They can do parts of it. Now, a sequential program is a sequential program. We can sometimes extract some parallelism out of it. This is not, by any means, the first vectorizing and parallelizing compiler. Cuck and Associates and others have done it for C and for C++ and Fortran for many years.
Okay.
It's not the first.
Great.
However, it is the first time I know of, and I've talked to several of the other vendors in this space, and they seem to agree, this is the first time I know of that automatic vectorization and automatic parallelization has been shipped in a compiler product for an audience of 1 million developers. This is, as far as I know, by far the widest deployment in history of an automatic vectorizing, parallelizing compiler. It is not the first one. They've been around for 20 and 30 years. Mm. This is the widest deployment. This is coming to the mainstream. And it's a V1 product for us. We'll still keep making that better. But I just love the work the back-end team has done. Jim Radican is a genius. And I just love the work that he and his team have done. And will continue to get better.
Great. So go ahead and watch that talk. You can see it right now. It's already on demand. You'll learn a lot. Okay, Bob K wants to know, do you see C++ used less and less in commercial projects? Is the community shrinking in your mind?
No, it's exactly the other
way
around.
Bob's question.
It's exactly the other way around. Go look at isoccpp.org/about, and you will see a list of companies and growing who think it is good business, who get nothing out of it but their logo on the screen and promoting standard C++. You will see a list of companies who believe it is good business to invest in standard C++ and who run on C and C++.
Yes.
This is not to say that one language fits all. It is to say that more and more, especially in mobile and in data centers, yes, C++ is being used more because you want your twice as efficient application to consume less resources and run twice as long on the same battery.
Yes.
People love that.
Yes.
And that's why you're seeing native code. And even if you write the rest of your application in some other language, often the framework you use will be implemented in native code, or you use native code for at least the compute-intensive parts. But C++ is getting so easy to use. Modern C++, which is not like it was a few years ago, is getting so easy to use that often you can just do the whole thing in C++, and you can use whatever tool you want for the right tool for the job.
Absolutely. So great question, Bob. Thanks for asking that. Clemens wants to know, are there any plans for compile time reflection support?
Yes. In fact, let me see if I have it here, because I mentioned it in my talk. You know, and I'm trying to make this available in the work here. So under the standardization tab, take a look at the committee, I think, has this information. So here's some pictures of us. Here's how we're organized. So here's some study groups. And let's take a look at this picture. By the way, once you touch a screen, you never want to stop touching it.
Amen.
End of commercial. I'm just a very happy customer.
Right on.
Here are the subgroups that are now concurrent in the standards process that I've appointed just this year that have a critical mass of experts and a strong chair. One of them that we just created 2 weeks ago, where is it? Reflection, specifically for compile time reflection. Now, it's just been born 2 weeks ago. It was in response to papers that have already been written proposing those kinds of features for the standard. So there's a bunch of people working on it. Now, if you're interested in that, I believe that that subgroup, like some of the others, is choosing to make its mailing list publicly readable. I'm really pushing the subgroups to consider making their mailing list publicly readable, and you'll see it on this site. SG5 has already done that. And so if you look at, where are we, forums, we were there earlier. SG5 transactional memory, they're already publicly readable. And SG7 is going to have a reflector. I was kind of busy preparing for today, so I haven't made sure the right people have created them yet.
Sure.
And so we're going to create that over the next few weeks or so. Then it should appear here, isoccpp.org/forums. And you can probably follow along with their work and see what they're actually doing if you like.
Great. Now let me ask you this before we ask some great questions coming up, but just real briefly, 10 seconds. Why would a subgroup not want to be open about what they're doing?
I don't know of any.
So are you asking them or are you telling them to be open?
They're asking.
Okay, great. Let's go. Let's see. Of course. It's about time, guys.
What?
So Lucian wants to know, concepts were removed by the C++ 11 committee.
Yes.
Is it planned for the future?
Actually, I can just do this, can't I?
Yes, you can.
And let's go back up here. And we want this subgroup, SG8, is concepts.
Okay.
I mentioned in my talk, go see the talk for the slightly longer version. There have been proposals from me based on the experience in the D language with Andrei Alexandrescu and Walter Bright, and Walter Brown as well, based on D's experience with static if. And Bjarne and others have been working on concepts for the past year to see, instead of this Vasa-like monolithic ornate proposal, which was rightly rejected for standardization because it wasn't ready and it was really ornate, an ornate compromise, it is a very simple proposal. We may well get this in the C++17 timeframe. If all the things line up right, we might even get it sooner. But think very simple concepts light, which is basically compiler support for enable if.
Excellent.
And if you know what that means, all it says is to give you language support for saying here is the requirement on my template parameter type. Otherwise, if that isn't met, my class or function just doesn't exist. And instead of having enable if as a workaround, which is now standard, which is useful, you could do better by having it in the compiler. In particular, you can get away from these 40-page long template error messages with instantiation problems deep in the bowels of something you never heard of, and instead say, oh, sorry, that's not an integer-like type. Or, sorry, I can't less than compare that.
Great. Excellent. All right, so can you comment on Microsoft's level of commitment to Windows kernel driver code done in C++, in modern C++, in C++ 11, man?
So one of the stretch goals always is for drivers, right? We want drivers to be safe. I can't make any announcements right now.
Okay.
It's something we always work on and always look to because we want C++ to be adopted broader and deeper. One thing I mentioned in my talk was that as we do each release, we always work closely with the Windows team, and so we get a sense of how C++ is being adopted. Because, of course, a lot was mostly written in C because it's quite old. NT was done 20 years ago. But as we see more and more of the new code being written in C++ and of the old code being rewritten in C++ in each release, it's really encouraging. And this release cycle, I saw personally or just anecdotally more Windows teams during the Windows 8 cycle adopt modern C++ with lambdas and exceptions and auto and decal type than I have seen many Windows teams do in any single product cycle. So Windows 8 did a lot of that, plus all of WinRT is driven by C++. So we're seeing more and more of that. Drivers are always the hard one because a lot of driver code, for instance, even the Open Joint Strike Fighter coding standards that Bjarne Strustrup was involved in authoring bans exceptions. In that particular safety critical and life critical software for certain reasons that not everyone agrees with, but there are certain technical reasons why they do that. In drivers, in some kinds of code in Windows teams, they will not tolerate exceptions, so you can't turn on that feature of the compiler. Even so, there are parts of C++ you can use and should use, and so we're always working. We always see each release more and more Windows teams pick it up.
Great question. Let's see. Oh, of course. It's C99 time on Temple 9. So will Visual C++ ever support C99 tag struct initialization syntax, Herb?
I don't know.
Okay. That's a good question, though. Keep asking it, man. This is from Mark. C++ support in Visual Studio 2012. Code editing, navigating, refactoring in particular, feels much weaker than what we have in C#. Are there plans to improve that? I thought we sort of did in 2012.
Yes, so there are improvements in 2012, and we'll continue to invest in that.
Okay, great. oh, no.
Oh, yes, whatever
Manage
it is.
C++. What's the future of Manage C++? Remember that stuff? The C++ CLI?
I think he means C++ CLI, because Manage C++
Manage
Extensions were the first version.
Yeah.
So, first of all, have you been doing Windows 8 modern application programming in C++ using our current compiler? C++ CX is basically C++ CLI. It is the same kind of syntax. It turns out to be a very useful and reusable design for binding to a foreign type system. And so it turns out we were able to reuse a lot of that, which was really cool. We didn't go in assuming that. We rediscovered that it was a very good model. Having said that, remember that C++ CLI was created should be used as an interface to .NET. Now, our story on that has changed a little bit over the years. I acknowledge that. And the reason is because of what Windows has done, because we're always tracked and driven by supporting the platform. When we first started doing C++ CLI, Windows Longhorn aimed to put managed code at the heart of a modern operating system. It was a grand endeavor. Therefore, it's our job as a C++ team to support the platform, the operating system, to provide access to everything it offers. If that's going to be some managed code, because the directive went out for a time saying all new APIs will be managed. They may also have native equivalents, but in addition to, not instead of. So we had to support managed code well, and we invested heavily in that. Then Windows did not do that. Managed code is still important, but C++ CLI has always been about being an interop to managed code. You should use it as an interop.
An efficient interop, right?
And a very efficient interop. Always use it for that.
Okay.
Initially, we thought that would be much more broadly. You can't use the OS without it hardly for new features.
Time is running out on Herb Sutter.
Sorry, that's enough. We're not going to give any more to manage C++
right now. It's still important.
Great. All right. So, what do you, Herb, think about an opt-in garbage collector in C++?
Oh, I think we need one.
Okay.
Now, we are very happy with reference counting. This is not to change anything we have today. Mm-hmm. It is to give you, imagine just a GC alloc that returns you, say, a GC putter, something that simple that you can use when you want to, mm-hmm. and only when you want to. It can be garbage collected way more efficiently because most things don't have to be GC'd. You know exactly the subset of memory that needs to be GC'd. You need this for high performance lock-free collections, for example. Sometimes you really want GC. We are very happy with reference counting in all the uses we have today, not to replace any of those uses, but to extend them just a little bit for those key scenarios, including for performance where you want garbage collection. I intend to write a proposal for the standards committee. We've been kind of busy, as you can tell, in our last release and with all this work. I keep meaning to get to it, but I think it should be as simple as potentially a GC alloc that returns a GC putter and let us write efficient lock-free code very easily.
Rock and roll. All right, so this is from Matus. Did you read Scott Meyer's Copying Constructors in C++11? He describes there how perfect forwarding constructor may become a mutable copy constructor for non-const argument and collide with user-defined typical const copy constructor.
Time out. I might have read it. I don't remember it.
Yes.
Send me mail.
Send mail because, and also, Matus, dear Matus, pretend like you're on Twitter even though you're not. Keep the questions a little less verbose. But
I'm happy
great
to take
question.
It by mail.
We store all the questions.
Yeah.
So this will probably come to your inbox.
And sometimes I reply individually, and sometimes I post replies on my blog, too.
Awesome.
Read a Q&A.
Thank you, Matus. Keep on asking questions. We got about 3 minutes left. We're with the great Herb Sutter. Made some huge announcements today. Variadic templates in VC++ compiler. Mm-hmm. That's one of the ones I'm excited about.
Uniform initialization, initializer lists, delegated constructors, function template default arguments. You can make me say them all. I said delegated constructors already. What are the other two? Explicit,
okay.
Conversion operators, and what was the other one? You tell me.
Right on.
Okay, there's one more.
No, somebody was talking in my ear. What was the last one? You asked me.
Function template default
rock
arguments.
Rock and roll. Look, the moral of the story is at Going Native 2012, you said clearly that you would do this, and you've done it. So thank you. So rock and roll.
Thank you to the team, because it's the team that believes in C++. And you can see we've been really busy for 2 years with our biggest release ever. There's an industry tsunami to the tablet revolution, through the GPU compute revolution. Because C++ matters is why we're at the center of it. So we got busy. I don't expect such another tsunami for another couple of years. So now we can finish that kind of work and also be able to emphasize conformance again, which is also our bread and butter. Remember, for C++, any C++ compiler, but especially VC++, conformance is your meat and platform support is your potatoes.
Cool.
Everything else is gravy.
All right, we're going to wind down, but we have 10. Now we're going to play the game called Herb and 10. Right, you have 10 seconds to answer this question. Ready?
Okay.
Will C++ ever get standardized ABI?
Doubtful.
Okay. Michael Price asks, is there any chance that isocpp.org might host web interfaces to standards compliant or mostly compliant compiler toolchains like httpllvm.org demo?
Watch this space.
Rock and roll. Herb, it's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you, Charles.
Thanks for coming on Channel 9.
Thank you for tuning in.
Cheers to everybody. Thank you all for tuning in to Channel 9 Live for the past 4 days. The questions have been tremendous. Mm-hmm. None of this would have been possible without the work of a lot of people. So rock and roll.
It's been a great week.